This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And stay. Yes, stay. Welcome back, everybody, to a new season of the Top Chef Wrap-Up. It is season 21 of Top Chef, and season I don't remember of the Top Chef Wrap-Up. Not great with numbers, but I am great about thinking about food. I'm Haley Strong, and I am joined here again by my Top Chef besties, Kurt Clark. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey there. Yeah, I think the podcast started at the end of 12. We covered a few episodes wrapping that up, and it kicked into regular coverage in 13. So if you count season 12, this is our 10th anniversary season in some ways. I don't know what that is. That paper, plastic?
That's not for me to know. Latanya Starks, welcome back as well to the Top Chef for Half a Podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. You're welcome to my presence on this podcast. You're welcome to my takes about Top Chef. You're just generally welcome.
And you do look stunning tonight. My bad that we are not having video this episode. But, you know, it used to just be behind the paywall of the $10,000 patrons. But I do believe that some episodes this season we will be doing some video, and that will be up on YouTube. That day is not today.
Nope.
So sorry, okay. But that will prepare me to like do more skincare, maybe a hair mask,
more visual gags,
maybe get a better like webcam. I'm not gonna do a visual gag.
Oh, I would probably do.
Oh, then that's fine. I'm like, I can't take on any more. Like, I'm not gonna do that.
How many ways do I have to tell you I'm not okay?
How many ways? I don't do gags. I don't gag. Actually, no, I gag a lot. I have a weak stomach. Anyway. Top Chef Wisconsin.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
There wasn't a lot of cheese.
There wasn't.
No. There was reference to like sausage and cheese. And then and then they were like, not there's anything wrong with that.
Meat and potatoes, but it's okay. Yeah,
that's okay.
This was a good episode. I enjoyed it. I had a great time. I'm very excited about the season. I didn't feel like it was a robust episode.
No.
I was gonna say meaty episode, but then like I didn't feel good about that.
There wasn't a lot of Wisconsin thematics there, other than I think Dan's from Milwaukee. I don't know if he mentioned it at all during the episode.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, there's a contestant named Dan. I believe he might be from Milwaukee.
There is at least one who is from there.
Other than him mentioning that at every turn, there wasn't a lot of local flavor, so to speak.
Yeah. I love that they brought in Midwestern nice in the first episode,
yes,
because that's very important and like distinct way of acting around people.
Yes.
And it definitely does affect driving because it's just like, no, you get over. No, you get over. No, you go ahead.
Does everyone have those bumper stickers that was like, please bestie, let me merge, or like, let me merge. I'm crying. 'Cause I need those.
It's And I think there's like, there's Midwest nice. I know there's Michigan nice.
Yeah.
So there's, and I think there's like Illinois nice, Wisconsin. So I think there's sub brands of nice, but in general, yeah, Midwest nice. It's like, no, bless your heart. But that would be the Southern equivalent.
That's Southern. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, and like, I feel like Midwestern nice is actually deeply rude compared to Canadian nice. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're right.
We're playing the same game, but in a different ballpark.
Oh no. Like, don't get it mixed up. Midwestern nice is backhanded and mean.
Like passive aggressive.
Mean. Very passive aggressive. Yes,
it's passive aggressive.
There is a land of passive aggressiva and we are its queens.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's like, no, you go ahead and merge. While you're angrily glaring at them.
While I tailgate then, you. Yeah.
And then someone pulls out a gun. Yeah. That might just be Illinois.
It's hard being close to Indiana. You know what I mean?
It's really tough. Like, I've been struggling with it my entire life. And I feel like my community is not seen in that way. So I'm glad
the
that we're
Indiana
getting to
haters?
It. Yeah. Well, just like Indiana adjacent human beings.
Yeah, that have
to like live with the knowledge that that exists.
Oh, yeah. If we want to get out of Michigan, we have like either we have to go the long way around the lake and come through Wisconsin. Surprise, we're coming at you from the north. We have to sneak into another country, Canada. We have to squeeze into Ohio. But no, the main way is through Indiana.
Mm-hmm. That is tough. Like, I feel like culturally Indiana is like not Midwest, but that could be totally wrong. Like, I just feel like it's like truly middle.
It's America's crossroads. I think it's on their license plates.
I can't get Bone Thugs and Harmony out of my head. So thank you for that.
As two Midwest girlies, are you excited that your area is being represented?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I wish that a different city, like a different place was being represented, because I've lived in Wisconsin. I have nothing against people from Wisconsin, but plenty of people from Wisconsin seem to have a thing against just me. And my kind in general. It's so racist there, but like way more overtly racist than like any place other than the South that I've been in. And it's weird. It's like done in weird ways. So the passive aggression is definitely there, but the overt racism is like at a 10. And then they just try to make everything better with cheese and beer.
I mean, yeah. It is a bridge, usually, the cheese and beer.
I was surprised to learn today that Kristen Kish is from Kentwood. I was in Kentwood today. Kentwood is Grand Rapids. She said it's outside of Grand Rapids. If you're from Grand Rapids, you can like it all. It's all the same, and it's not like a Chicagoland thing. It's like it's almost like I think of Kentwood as a neighborhood of Grand Rapids. But I was like, I literally went grocery shopping in Kentwood today. I had no idea she was from here. Like, yeah, that threw me. I probably should have known that she was a Grand Rapidsite. So that blew my mind.
I know. Yeah. When she said that, I was like, oh, I bet Kurt's excited. Okay. Let me do it. You guys talk amongst yourself while I do a quick Google search.
Okay.
Okay.
We're not good at this, Haley.
I know. It's tough. But like, I'm also not good at Googling on the fly. And I can't
talk to Kurt alone. You have to be there.
I have to be like
he's the Kurt whisperer and our mediator. But you know, it was I don't want to go into like what I got for groceries because that we
No,
we
that's fine. Like, I'm back. Okay, yeah, I'm back. Yeah. We haven't talked about it on air yet about Padma leaving Top Chef as a franchise, because that news came out in like June-ish, or did we? I genuinely don't remember.
We had a small conversation about
because it was announced.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it
hadn't been announced that Kristen Kish was taking over, but we were, as a trio, very much hoping that that would be the case. I was thrilled to hear her be announced as the Top Chef host. I think she is the absolute right call for that. It was hard for me to like think of anyone else who is really like not qualified, but like made perfect sense. And she did. And I thought she was really excellent in her first episode. She didn't feel like a newbie. I think she wasn't being like a Padma copy. I think she was making this role very much her own as somebody who has judged on the show, as somebody who has been a contestant, as a winner. Like I think she did a wonderful job, and I'm so excited for her for the rest of the season.
I wonder if she contributed at all to some of the changes that we saw. I mean, I'm guessing she doesn't have the, like, well, I'm coming on board and we're changing this, this, and this, but I'm wondering if, like, how her and Tom and Gail impacts together the structure of the show. But I did really like that, like, we now have a host who was a former contestant. The whole part where they're raising their hands on, like, who's been a James Beard nominee, who's worked in a Michelin star restaurant. And then after that gets done, she goes, well, who didn't, you know, I think it was Tom asked, like, who didn't raise their hand? And Kristen said, you know, I didn't have any of that stuff either. So your accolades mean nothing here. And I was just saying, I was so happy to hear her say that, not to, like, bring people down a peg, but to maybe boost the confidence of the others.
Yeah. And this show has always been about, like, what have you done for me lately? It's like, We're never looking at your resume. We're looking at the plate you literally just put in front of me. Like, I don't even care what you did last week. So I thought it was interesting. I feel like this first episode, I like it as an opportunity to get to know everybody a little bit. And I feel like we didn't get that personally.
Yes, that was something that I was thinking while watching the episode. I think the closest that we got to something like that was when they realized there was no quick fire. And so they all just hung out in that big open space and they were, like, drinking and talking to one another. But, like, it's not like they put up everyone's names underneath them as they were doing that.
Or, so, like, you know, what restaurant, like, what food do they cook? Like, where are they from? Like, what is it that they specialize in? Like, I wanted to hit a little bit of everyone because I felt like it was very obvious from the beginning that David was going home this episode.
I was leaning that way. I don't think I was as certain as you, but I'm not going to say definitely one of three, but I mean, like, before he was one of the three, I had a feeling that that was going to be the way that it was going to lean. I actually, you know, coming out of when they were leaving Whole Foods, Dan, who is from Milwaukee, said, I feel like I forgot something. And then they cut to commercial break. And I'm like, oh, he forgot something.
Yeah.
He didn't. He was actually, they
apparently
loved
not. He just felt that way and they wanted us to know.
Exactly. So I did think that he might be in trouble just from that edit. But no, unless it's like a callback in three or four episodes.
I was concerned about, and I need to refresh my memory on which contestant this was. It was, like, about the chicken. I think it may have been the favorite. Was it Danny whose chicken was, like, very undercooked and he had to put it into the other oven at 500 degrees in order to get the chickens to cook?
I think it was.
Yeah. I was very concerned at that point that he was going home because it didn't seem like they had a lot of time left. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you ever attempt to besmirch the good name of Tom or his hat choices.
I know, because we are such big fans of Tom's hats here on the Top Chef or Half Up.
We're fans of talking about Tom's hat choices.
Speak for yourself, Kurt. Yeah. I am a fan. It does it for me.
The barbershop quartet straw boater.
Yeah, the boater was my favorite.
That was my favorite one. Yeah. I think that we've been very vocal on, like, Tom being on our list of, like, you know, celebrity allowed. And his hats play a big role in that.
The boater does it for me on him.
I had friends in the UK who were watching last season, the one that took place in London. And when he had that flat cap on backwards, they were like, no, no, no. No, don't do that, Tom.
Let Tom express himself.
Yeah.
I'm not. Tom live. You know what? I'm not here to hat shame Tom.
It sounds like you are.
Why are you hat shaming the love of our lives like this? Like, a tat.
Personally. I do have two Top Chef boyfriends for this season, and I would like for you to guess who they are.
Okay. You have Manny?
Yeah. That's my guess.
Oh, I was waiting for confirmation.
You said nothing.
You have to guess both of them. And I'll tell you after.
I'm scanning the name.
Is it Charlie?
Kurt, what's your second guess?
My second guess is Valentine.
No, it's Kevin and Manny. You're right on Manny, but Kevin is my second boyfriend.
Manny. Oh, you know what? I was drawn to the highlighted names in my spreadsheet.
Oh, fair. Okay.
And he was at the very top. I missed him. Everyone else, okay.
Manny's accent, like, can we just take a second and give a salute? Because he pronounced the word soul in a way that made my soul leave my body for a temporary amount of time. So would. I was just like, oh my God.
He's a good looking feller. And so is Kevin. Kevin is French. That, like, right there, I'm like, okay, I'm in. French Italian too.
Yeah.
Manny might be my Top Chef boyfriend. Like, he's a handsome man.
He is
And finally, we have someone from Top Chef France who made it past the first round.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. That was tough.
Yeah.
One of the other big changes of this season is that we're no longer giving immunity for a quick fire win. You are getting immunity in the following episode if you win the elimination challenge. So our boyfriend Manny will be immune in the elimination challenge next week. How do we feel about that? You know, we don't go through a lot of big changes in Top Chef. This feels like a big one. How do we feel?
I'm fine with it. I like that you can't just, well, there's two sides to it. One, I like that you can't just rest on your laurels for the elimination challenge. It's not just a matter of safety. There's no downside to losing the elimination challenge because you're not going to be eliminated, because the fact that there's elimination or immunity up again as an opportunity, you're still going to try your hardest. The downside is that I had a downside. I'll come back to it while you two kind of give your thoughts on the change.
Yeah, like, I get what you're saying. It's like, oh, but they're going to, like, everyone's going to try hard in the elimination challenge because you're not, like, it being immune from the quickfire. Except the guy who won last week, who's probably still going to try, like, as hard as he did if he had won it, like, in this episode, yeah. Rather. So I find it, like, I like everything to feel neat and tied up in a bow, like, as, like, a complete episode. So for him to win immunity in this episode and it carries into next week, like, I find that might get a little bit confusing. I'm willing to watch it. Like, I'm willing to go into it with an open mind, open heart, open stomach.
Yeah.
But it feels like an unnecessary change. Like, it worked to have the quickfire. Like, now the quickfire wins feel less consequential, even though there's going to be a monetary value attached to it.
Yeah.
And we don't know if there's going to be any, I have a feeling it's not going to just be the monetary value. I think I would not be surprised if there was some sort of advantage, like you get to pick teams or you get an extra 30 minutes or something. I would not be surprised if there's an extra strategic gameplay bonus.
Well, I don't like change. So when I found out that this was new, I got my pitchfork out of the closet where I keep it safely stored. And then I started a literal fire in front of my television because how dare you, first of all. And second of all, I've been used to this format for a very long time. You can't just come and change the format on me. Like, I don't have any real warrants or logical explanations behind any of this. And it'll grow on me once, you know, I get into the season. But for right now, I'm keeping my pitchfork right in my hand, just in case.
I mean, if there's a season to try this out on, it's Top Chef Wisconsin. I mean,
no shade to Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm going to be, here's the thing. It's like, I'm from the Midwest. I've worked in Wisconsin, or I've worked with a company that is based in Wisconsin. I love the Mars Cheese Castle. If we don't get a Mars Cheese Castle episode,
I'm sorry,
I will
what?
Get my pitchfork.
No.
I'll tell you.
What is this? A cheese castle?
So just across the border, as you're driving from Chicago to Milwaukee, about five to 10 miles into Wisconsin, there's a place on the left-hand side, the west side of the, I think that's 90, that's 94, called the Mars Cheese Castle. It's a big It's a big, it's not quite, it, they put a turret on it, but it's
yeah, I was going to say, it looks like a, it looks like it used to be a medieval times building.
It's a big store that has a lot of cheese, a lot of jerky, a lot of smoked meats, things that you would find like in a Bob Evans gift pack in bulk. And, but they got like jellies and specialty soda pops. I almost said specialty sodas, and I had to pivot because I'm from the Midwest. Specialty pops, jam, like mustard, like a whole variety of mustards, a deli area, beers, tons of Wisconsin. So it's a clearinghouse for all things picnic Wisconsin-y. And whenever I would drive from Chicago to Appleton, Wisconsin for work, I would always stop at the Mars Cheese Castle on the way back and pick up cheese, you know, smoky sticks, you know, like fancy Slim Jims. They have to do something with the Mars Cheese Castle or I will riot. One person.
What do you order at the Mars Cheese Castle restaurant?
I have not gone to the restaurant there. I've always just kind of like parked, walked in the, I've shopped there.
You've never gone to the restaurant there? Then why are you talking about it?
Yeah, that's
like, true. It's just like very reasonably priced. Or maybe it's just because it's all in American money. It feels
no. And you can like live very cheap in Wisconsin. It like I was shocked. I lived in a gated community while I was there, and I am not rich. Like all of my bills together came to like $1,000 a month.
It's to be clear. I freaking love Wisconsin, which is why I feel comfortable mocking it.
Yeah, it's our sister, Wisconsin. So yeah, we can make fun of her.
Yeah, it's the only thing I probably mock more than Wisconsin is West Michigan.
All right.
I love people who say they're from Chicago, but they're like from Northbrook. Chicago land.
That's Chicago land. Stop it.
I totally understand the joke.
You so, laugh. So that's all that matters.
They got rid of immunity for the quickfire. Any other big twists? Yeah. I mean, there was no quickfire this episode.
The three of you have to cook, like the three lowest people have to cook.
I love that. I think that was just this episode.
I think that was just this episode, and I'm glad they did it because it seemed to it gave everyone
a second chance.
And it was to be like comparing apples. They didn't have the same challenge that they were
lowest on.
Comparing apples to oranges, and I was trying to think of a joke about soup and pasta. But you can kind of compare soup and pasta because sometimes they're... Anyway, I guess apples and pears can be in a fruit salad. Regardless, I was glad that they had a chance because, it was saying that person A did worse than person B, but person B had a completely different challenge.
Yeah.
Wasn't really fair. So I was glad they got to do something. I don't
think what was the challenge that they had?
They had a challenge where they had to each of the three judges had set forth a challenge for five people who drew their name on a knife. So all 15 drew knives, five people drew Gail's name, five people drew Kristen's name, and five drew Tom's name. The five people who drew Gail's name, they had to make a stuffed pasta. The five people who chose Kristen's name had to make a soup. And the five people who chose Tom's name said that they basically had to roast a whole chicken and then make a dish out of it using the white meat and the dark meat. And they each gave a rationale for why they chose that. Like Gail, like, you know, the thing that people have failed more on than anything. I thought she was going to say like risotto. But she said the people have failed so often on stuffed pasta. So that's your challenge. Kristen talked about how soup may seem simple, but it's actually can be really complex. And it's really easy to go from complex to overly complicated. And then Tom is like, you know, it's hard to do a chicken. Let's see what you can do with chicken. It's hard to do a chicken, right? They went shopping at Whole Foods, and that's where we probably learned this last season that in Top Chef France, they don't give you, I guess they give you the groceries. You don't have to go shopping. So Kevin was like, oh, this is wonderful. He was taking his time and saving.
He was just like, la-di-da-di-da, having a nice time here.
So they had $200 to go shopping.
Together, please.
Yeah.
The $200 to go shopping on day one, and then they had, checking my notes, 2 hours to cook and serve on day two. And they kind of did a staggered thing. So you had the five people doing the stuffed pasta first, then maybe, what, a half hour and some amount of time in, they brought in the soup people, etc.
Out of these three challenges, what would you want to do the most?
Soup.
I think I would want to do the stuffed pasta. Like, I think I'd have the most fun with that.
I would want to do the chicken one.
Oh,
look at that. Look how cute we are.
The three of us would have been in the bottom three together.
My thing with roast chicken is there are some, like, I like to make a lot of stuff from scratch, but there is some stuff where I'm just like, not to, for like, me.
You have and to wait for the egg to hatch, and then you have to wait like several years for it to grow up.
Yeah,
and then
exactly. The one thing, like, I'm probably not going to roast a chicken because it costs like $25 to buy an unroasted chicken when I could spend $8.99 and get a Roto Boy. And I would rather do that.
A what?
A Roto Boy.
A rotisserie chicken. I've never, we don't call them Roto Boys in the Midwest, but I might
think
start.
We call them that here either.
Okay, I thought that was a Canadian.
Yeah, that felt like an alienism to me.
That's a this gal thing.
I'm adopting Roto Boy.
I love Roto Boy. I want to name a pet Roto Boy now.
All your Roto Boys are
come
gone.
Come here, Roto Boy.
Costco, where are your Roto Boys?
Yeah. I think the same thing about, like, if you chose stuffed pasta, like, can you make, well, I can't make, I've never made pasta, so I assume I can't make pasta. But that would be like, whereas like soup to me, it's like, okay, it's a little bit more mad science-y than the other two.
But I feel like soup can go off the rails so easily, and it's hard to come back from it. Yeah, like, once you're off the rails.
Was it, I can't remember if it was, quick going to my notes, I can't remember if David did it during his stuffed pasta challenge or the make a good plate of food challenge, where he was like, I oversalted it, I'm just going to run under the water in the sink.
That was the make good food, and he didn't do that.
No.
You can't do that with soup.
You can't run it under the water. No, you can't. So our stuffed pasta girlies, we had Kevin, David, Rasika, Alicia, and Michelle. Kevin made a squint. We're off to a good start.
Everything's great. Everything's going great.
A squid ink raviolo stuffed with lobster and shrimp, bisque and fennel puree. David made a mushroom stuffed gnocchi with speck and chicken liver gravy, mascarpone and Calabrian chili. Rasika made keema stuffed karakaitai with kurma. Alicia made a ricotta gnocchi stuffed with mushroom bechamel, truffle goat cheese, and preserved lemon. Michelle made a ricotta and lobster stuffed pasta with charred corn sauce and chorizo. I feel like they made a really big deal about David stuffing his gnocchi. Like, that, you crazy boy. Like, you are, no, you can't do that. And then we also had another stuffed gnocchi. So I was like, why are we making a big deal about that? Anyway, which one are you ordering?
Based on the description or based on the
based result? On the description.
Okay. What about you, LaTanya? Which of these is
well, I know that Kurt is gonna order the one with the fennel because he loves fennel so much.
Fennel is my absolute favorite.
More
fennel.
I would order Michelle's.
Me too.
The combination of lobster and
corn and chorizo.
And corn and chorizo sounds amazing. I love the fact that she was just like, I haven't made pasta in a decade, but I'm just going to come out here and be everyone's favorite anyway.
I find her strikingly beautiful as
she's
well.
So pretty.
She's stunning.
I can't believe she's in her 40s.
I know. I was like, if you would ask me, I would have said like 35 max.
Right. She's got a lot of good stuff going on. It,
and her approach of like, I've not made pasta in ages was much better than David's, I hate pasta.
Yeah, I really loved like the energy she brought to this challenge. Like it wasn't subdued, but it was like cheerful, but like not overwhelmingly cheerful. It was just like she was so excited to be there. I really enjoyed her. And I think she's going to go pretty far, honestly, based on this first episode. Watch her go next. But her ricotta, she had the favorite in the group. where David very obviously had the least favorite in the group. And I will say, I try to be very like chill and cool about the food. Even if I don't like, wouldn't eat something, like it's not for me to like yuck anyone's yum. And I really love David's philosophy of like, we're not wasting anything. I had to look away when he was making the chicken blood pate. Like I could not be present for that moment.
See, I would have chosen, based on the description, David's. I was like the mushroom stuffed gnocchi, that sounds interesting. Chicken livers, mascarpone, Calabrian, like I like everything there. This is where I think we've discussed many times, Haley, how I'm not a fan of ricotta. So that
really, I'd eat it with a spoon.
Yeah. I mean, but the lobster stuffed pasta sounds amazing. Truffle goat cheese might get me past the ricotta gnocchi, so Alicia's dish. But I think it's based on the description. If these five items, like you get to pick one of these for your stuffed pasta course, I would have chosen David's, I think.
I would have been big mad if I ordered David's and it came with like one burnt, weird pancake looking gnocchi and like 75 dots of sauce.
I don't know if I would have been, I'm not saying I would have been happy with his play on that specific thing.
Yeah.
Big mad.
I will just say that if Tom says, now that's a pasta about you, you're going to go far in this competition.
Yeah. The next round, we had Make a Soup with Charlie, Manny, Dan, Laura, and Amanda. Charlie made a corn and ham soup with pickled shrimp. Manny made green pozole with chicken and charred salsa verde. Dan made tomato and fennel broth with seafood. Laura made a uvalama mint yogurt soup with bulgur meatballs, morel, and mintaki mushrooms. And Amanda made chicken and dumplings with citrus gremolata. Which one are you ordering based on the description?
Why am I going for the bottom ones each time? Like, I like chicken and dumplings. Like, the obviously no fennel. The bulgur meatballs, no. The corn and ham soup, the pickled shrimp, I think, would have thrown me off, despite their comment that it wasn't that pickled. So I actually probably would have liked that more. And I'm just not a chicken, like, soup person. I don't know. I think I would have gone for the chicken and dumplings. It sounds hearty.
Yeah, it does. I would have gone for the corn and ham with the pickled shrimp. I famously, like everyone knows this worldwide, love soup. Yeah. Like whenever anyone sees me, they're like, oh, that's that soup bitch, LaTanya. and so I would probably eat all of these soups, but I would definitely order, like, I love things that are pickled. Like, you know, that is like chaos menu to me, like throwing in pickled shrimp with a corn and ham soup. So that sounds very appetizing. Which would you get, Haley?
See, I'm really tied between the corn and ham soup with pickled shrimp, which is basically just like the ricotta and lobster stuffed pasta with corn sauce and chorizo in like a different form.
Exactly.
I'm also in on the tomato and fennel broth with seafood. Like, I'm just drawn to anything with shrimp or anything like that. And I, unlike Kurt, like fennel.
I'm going to marry fennel. And Kurt, you have to officiate the wedding.
Twist my arm.
So Manny was in the top with the green pozole. And Amanda was in the bottom with the chicken and dumplings. The big issue with Amanda's dish was that the gremolata on the bottom was very salty.
Yeah.
And she did go back and taste it. And she was like, oopsie doodle. And that kind of shot her in the foot for her make a good dish round too, but we'll get there. We're not getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. I really like Amanda a lot. First of all, she's a Capricorn. So am I. So we are automatically buddies. Second, the cosplaying.
Like, I was going to say, like, this woman is like LaTanya Kaur. Like,
she's nerd. She's gamer.
Everything you want. It's ready.
She's a witch.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be LaTanya's favorite person this season. Like, it is. This is her. This is it.
She's like my top three favorite. Like, just yeah. I was so worried she was going to go.
Me too.
So I'm glad that she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, when she said, "I'm a Capricorn," Ethan said, "Oh my God, me too." And then she went on to say, "I'm also a nerd and I'm a biracial woman." And Ethan went, "I'm not those categories." He's like, our similarities do stop at Capricorn, but I will support her.
Very nice. Maybe one day. You never know.
Maybe he will be a nerd. We'll see.
Maybe he will be a biracial black woman one day.
See, that's a joke for you to make, not for me to make.
Exactly. That's why I'm here.
I let you have that one. Thanks. not for me. That one's not a Haley joke. I really wanted Amanda to stay. I didn't. I felt bad for her here. I thought Laura could have also possibly been in the bottom, but also we didn't get like any information about Laura whatsoever. Yeah. Like, I want to know more about this woman.
I didn't know what Yuvalana meant yogurt was until yesterday, so I would like to know more.
Yeah, I would try that one. Like, I don't think in like in a I have to pick one dish menu I'm picking that one, but in all five are right here in front of me, I think I would be like pretty excited to try that.
That's the dish where if it was, you know, part of the tasting menu, I'd be like, oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to see what this is. And then, but if it was like on the menu, it's the thing my mom would ask me what it is and I'd have to look it up. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. So it's, yeah.
I think there are many things on this menu my mother would ask me about.
Yeah. Oh, same. Most things.
I'm also a sneaky cabbage hater. So Manny's like didn't appeal to me at all. But you know what appeals to me?
Yeah, but he just saw this beautiful cabbage.
I know. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Roast a whole chicken. We have Kenny, Kalina, Danny, Savannah, and Valentine. Kenny made a fa butter roasted chicken with coconut carrot mashed potatoes. Kalina made roasted chicken with spice curry, corn shiitake, and lobster mushrooms. Danny made a thin herb roasted chicken with butter, brown butter, sherry vinaigrette, and carrot miso puree. Savannah made roasted chicken with avgolimano sauce, chicken skin gremolata, and potato puree. And Valentine made roasted harissa chicken with corn puree and warm shiso salad. I would have picked Valentine's. I think the harissa really gets me going. And I thought that was like the most like beautiful looking skin. I thought Savannah's looked like undercooked chicken in weird brown sauce, and I didn't want it.
I think I would have picked Danny's like brown butter, sherry vinaigrette, carrot, miso puree. Like, yes, please. All the time. Always.
Yeah. Something about brown butter I like. For me, it would have been between Kalina and Danny's. I think Kenny's, I was intrigued by carrot mashed potatoes, mm-hmm. or coconut. Then not the coconut. Like, the coconut is probably why I wouldn't go towards that, because I think I would have been afraid that I don't mind coconut flavor, but it's like the texture of shredded coconut that I'm not a fan of, and so I wouldn't have gone there. But now I was thinking, like, I've made mashed potatoes a couple times in the last couple of weeks, and I've been like, oh, but would I like shred it fine and then like put anyway? So that intrigued me, but the shiitake and lobster mushrooms, the spiced curry, the corn. Yeah, but you're right. The brown butter sherry vinaigrette. Yeah, torn between those two.
Love chicken. I would probably eat all of these because chicken is delicious, and we should eat more of them. They really are taking over the world.
Population control, not because of chairs.
Danny, we were very worried about Danny. He was the one who was like, oh, my chicken is at 75 degrees right now. And then I had to take a minute. I had to take a minute because some things I deal with in Celsius, cooking I deal with in Fahrenheit.
There we go. We did it.
But when I heard 75, I was like, okay, well, that's Celsius. And then because I was like, chicken has to be to like 165 Fahrenheit. And I was like, oh, no, 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 it's Fahrenheit. And this is bad, 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 bad.
It's really bad.
This is very bad.
Room temperature.
That's so tricky. Wow, that's tough. He just like left it sitting on the counter.
Yeah, that, it didn't get to 75 in the oven. It got to 75 on the counter.
That's so tough.
The ambient heat of the kitchen.
Like the hot breaths of the people around him, like cooked exactly. His chicken. My chicken has been steamed by everyone sweating around me. And the body heat from standing next to whoever.
I was a little bit worried because I hate when the edit reading side of my brain is only like 5% of what watches TV, but it was being so annoying between like the Dan saying, "Oh, I think I forgot something at Whole Foods," whatever. As they were walking away from having their chicken dishes judged, Savannah said to Valentine, "It's got to be, we have to be above, you know, Kenny, right? He forgot a component." And I thought that was maybe a hint that Kenny wasn't going to be on the bottom. Like they're like, it has to be Kenny.
Because they wouldn't just tell us. No, they literally just told us.
Top Chef is, I'm trying to think if there's ever, and I'm not again the historian, but I can't think off the top of my head. Come at me in the comment section, listeners, of a situation where somebody didn't meet the brief and wasn't in the bottom.
Sure. Yeah.
Might be instances where they weren't eliminated.
I think you kind of have to be in the bottom if you like didn't complete the full challenge. And then Danny was like, "No, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to crank the oven up to 500 degrees. And just hope for the best. Yeah. And then also like open it to like look. And I'm like, babe, no. We need to keep that closed. We need to keep the heat going. But I was like, this guy is gonna mess up his chicken. But no, he won the round.
He did it.
I think because in the previous round, Manny used up all the heat in the kitchen when his oven was on fire.
We want a fire. I'd be like, I'm so hot right now. I'm anxious as hell. I run warm and there's a literal just oven fire happening. What do you mean?
It was like a furnace, not an oven.
Yeah. I would be pissed. I'd be like, this place is, I would probably have passed out if I'm being honest.
If we were going to name a dish, it would be entitled Disco Inferno. Because of the
disco.
There we go.
Oh, we did it. All right, podcast over. Bye, everybody.
Wow. We are in mid-season form on the premiere. Like, look at us go.
I don't think that was a standard kitchen appliance, because if I saw that happening in my kitchen, something was very wrong.
I'd be like, we got some grease fire, Ethan. Do you want to take care of that?
Nah, I'm good.
I do have a gas stove, and so I did one time set a piece of parchment paper on fire on top of it. There was also another time where the cat tried to jump on the counter, and like his landing board was one of the dials, and he turned the stove on, which was not great. And it makes me panic now. Knock on wood, it doesn't happen again.
My first apartment in Chicago had my first gas stove. And I remember I accidentally left the burner on only for like 5 minutes. And then I went to light it. It was like, poof! It was like a small, like foot tall, like burst of flame. But it was like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Not great. My gas stove scares the hell out of me. Anyway, Kenny was in the bottom because he forgot the dark meat on his chicken.
Yeah.
Racist.
I was waiting for you to say it. I was hoping you would say it because I wasn't going to.
Not an us joke to make.
I feel like more people should call out racism, you know?
I get your, yeah. It's not enough to be a ally bystander. I have to
exactly.
Be.
Exactly. Gotta call it out.
Oh boy. So we have our bottom three, and they actually like did it round by round. So like you're in the top, you're in the bottom.
Can I ask a very ignorant question before we move on from the chicken?
Sure.
What what is the difference between white meat and dark meat? Like, which parts of the chicken are those? I know I could just Google it. I'll probably.
I think the white meat is mostly the breast. Can't believe I just said breast on a podcast. And then the jerk meat is literally everything.
Oh no, the clinical term for an organ. No.
You know, I'm a prude. And then like dark meat is like thigh, wing.
Okay. Then I'm a fan of dark meat.
All the joints.
Got it. All the joints. That's good to know.
Bottom three, we have David, Kenny, and Amanda. Actually, let's rewind for 1 second. Manny wins with his green pozole.
Let's celebrate the good first.
Yeah, Manny won. I really thought Michelle was going to win.
I did too. But you know, congratulations to Manny.
Yeah, of course. Congratulations
to Manny. He's immune next week, which is wonderful, but he has told us that he's not going to let up off the gas at all. So that's great.
David, Kenny, Amanda. They have to make a good plate of food with the scraps left in the kitchen in 20 minutes. This feels like a cutthroat kitchen challenge. And I don't think it was fair to only give them 20 minutes. Like, that feels unnecessary and cruel to me. And not conducive to, like, making a good plate of food.
I before we knew this was going to happen, I was like, okay, Amanda's safe. Like, Amanda, she just oversalted. I thought, like, that she was going to be, if it had just been those three comparing their respective dishes, I thought she was going to be fine. But when they said that this was the challenge, like, use the leftovers, and we see, like, David's face light up, I'm like, well, he's got this.
Yeah, this is what he does. But he just couldn't focus. He could not focus. I think this was too quick of a challenge for them to make actually good food, because they didn't make a good plate of food. Like, none of them made a good food.
This was like that episode last year where they ran the whole thing backwards. Like, so it almost like ended with a quick fire. Like, this is like more like a quick fire challenge.
Yeah. And like, I feel like if I was in a competition situation and my spot in the competition was on the line and someone told me I had 20 minutes to make a quote unquote good plate of food, I would just leave. Like, my mind would be going to 1,000 different places and I would not be able to focus. Like, what does that even mean?
I would probably like do what David did, but worse. By that, I mean, like, I'd throw a bunch of stuff in a blender and be like, enjoy your green curry sauce smoothie.
Enjoy your good
glass of food.
When he took out the blender, I was starting to picture like all of those gross food challenges on the challenge where like TJ blends up like tuna and horseradish and then they have to drink it in between puzzles. That's what I thought. I was just hoping he was going to slam like a pint glass and a straw down on the judge's table. It's like, okay, drink my meal.
Ugh. Tough. So David made poached shrimp with sun gold tomatoes, coconut cilantro broth, and green curry sauce. Kenny made Vietnamese cabbage salad with sake, tamari shrimp, and cilantro lime gremolata. And Amanda made snapper crudo with hominy puree and crispy tortilla. I think Amanda had, like, obviously the best idea. Mm-hmm. But she was like so focused on like all of the components being good that it looked like a gray bowl of watery soup at the end. Like, I was just like, duh. I was a little like, duh, no thank you. I probably would have had to have ordered Kenny's on this, even though I'm a bit of a cabbage hater, and this also looked like not good. Like, everyone was like, look at this huge heart of like cabbage I have.
Yeah, I think I was thinking Kenny's too. There's things about the, like, I'm just in general not just a fish person, so I wouldn't have gone with Amanda's. And again, the coconut's not something I seek out actively in dishes. I would have tried Kenny's.
I would have tried Amanda's. I did love that David was like, she stole my protein. And she was like, I just got to it first.
What? Yeah. And he like kept going back to that. And she was like, no, babes, like, run faster. Like,
yeah. This is the Hunger Games of food. Get with it.
Side note, this off season, I have gotten really into the Hunger Games again. It's like I am 19 all over again.
I saw the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, that musical one, and immediately had to go watch all of the other.
Okay, Kurt, movies. It's not a musical. It is. how do I
it's put not this? Not a musical.
It's not a musical, but it's not
a,
like,
I mean, it's a musical.
Like, it's not, yeah, for those
it's
who
not
are
like,
not
let's grab the kids, let's kill the kids. It's more like there's
the
a singer and he sings a lot.
A lot. The Sharks and the Jets were present though.
They were okay. Truly.
Okay. I knew of the movie. I had not seen it. It's based. Was there a book on that one as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the one I haven't read.
I have yet to watch the movie because I like kept seeing clips on TikTok, and I was like, okay, well, I got to read the book first before I watch the movie. Here's the thing. I didn't love the book, but it like hooked me in again. Like it got its little claws on me, and I was like, I need to read the other ones. And so Ethan also is like, okay, I would like to watch The Ballad of Songbird and Snakes, but I want to watch the other movies first. And he said, okay, that's fine. So we watched The Hunger Games, we watched Catching Fire, and we just haven't gotten to Mockingjay Part 1 and 2 yet, because those are like my least favorite.
They're not great.
So it's like hard, because that's my least favorite book, and it's hard to commit to like the two movies about it when I'm kind of like, I really just want to watch The Ballad of Songbird and Snakes.
I mean, you can, because it's a prequel.
I know, and that's what I told them. But it's also, it's hard because I feel like it makes so much more sense once you, like, have the whole story. Yeah. But it's also, like, maybe I should just tell them to read the Wikipedia page.
It might be better than watching those two movies. Those are a slog, for sure.
Those are tough ones.
It doesn't make sense, because they have so much more star power in those last two movies. Like, Philip Seymour Hoffman is just there.
So good. Or, like, this is, like, reinvigorated my huge crush on Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, should I watch American Fiction? I was like, should I watch American Fiction? Like,
you definitely should watch American Fiction.
I do want to watch it.
You should watch Basquiat as well, because he has never been hotter than in that movie.
Does he play Basquiat?
Yeah.
All right. Like, the artist. Like, right? Yeah. Okay, cool.
No,
all
Basquiat right. Jones, my cousin. Yes,
I'm just making sure.
Whenever I hear Jeffrey Wright, I picture Jeffrey Rush, and it's a very different
Wasn't he in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was he the squid?
I can't remember. I know he was definitely in it. But anyway, very different Jeffrey.
Very different traffic. So David is eliminated. Are we sad to see him go? Like, I don't know. Like, out of everyone, I'm like, all right, well, that's fine. Like, I feel really bad about
oh,
that.
Oh no.
They didn't vocally mention Last Chance Kitchen.
They didn't, did they?
No.
But there is a season 21 Last Chance Kitchen shout out on the Bravo website. So
okay.
I mean, they're not gonna bring in Kristen Kish to host and not have Last Chance Kitchen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll
it's like, I'm here. Shut it down.
I think he's the type of person that could redeem himself in a place like Last Chance Kitchen. Now that he has an idea of what it's like to cook under extreme time pressure, he knows what mistakes not to make.
But if that's what got him eliminated, I don't think that one, like, I don't think it's, he needs more safe, quick fire experiences where failing isn't going to get him eliminated. So if he does have a time pressure issue, he's not going to get much of a
like a foot on the ground, kind of. Yeah.
Yes. He needs, I'm not too confident on his chances.
Yeah.
I was just trying to find a silver.
Sorry.
I'll stop.
Well, we're going to
never do that again.
I would say this was a good first episode. I don't think it blew me away. I'm so excited for Kristen as the host. I'm really excited about the season in general. I just felt like we could have done an hour and 15 minute episode here to get more. Like, it felt like an episode two. It didn't feel like an episode one. And I think that's my main issue.
Did you say it could have been an hour and 15?
No, I mean, like, it should have been like an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
On TV.
I was like, because I thought we got rid of the whole Canadian edit thing last season.
Yeah, no, I watch it on Hey You now for the most part, and they have the full episode, so it's like 52-minute runtime. But I think like an hour 15 of pure content.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okey-doke.
What about you guys? Are you, what are we feeling about the season? Kurt, did you watch the season on?
No, I always try to avoid watching that just because I Top Chef is horrible about spoiling things. In
it preview. Is, but I have the thrill of being an idiot and don't always connect the dots.
I do have the memory of a goldfish, but yeah,
like that's the thing going for me.
But if that 5% edit brain sticks that I'll remember that this person was in the Mars Cheese Castle challenge, and I'll be and that's not this week. So there's a little things like that that will stick in my mind.
Are you being sponsored by the Mars Cheese Castle?
If so, get us into that contract. Yeah. Like, we want to be involved
in a perfect.
I would do a sponsored post on the Mars Cheese Castle. Absolutely.
In a second.
In a perfect world. I will, you know what? I'm going to email them and say, hey,
you should.
We're podcasting about Top Chef Wisconsin. We've already mentioned Mars Cheese Castle so many times.
Oh my gosh.
Would you like to be our official cheese provider of the Top Chef Roundtable podcast?
Oh my God. Listen, who wouldn't want to be? And if you work at a cheese company that's not the Mars Cheese Company, and Mars doesn't take us up on their offer, and you want to provide us with an opportunity to have an official cheese at the Top Chef wrap up, we can easily be bought. I need to stress that again. Easily.
To be fair,
easily be bought.
I could be mistaken. I don't believe, and this is probably actually, I'm probably 80% certain this is wrong. I believe that they're just a retailer. I don't know if they make their own cheese.
That's fine.
So we can do both, is what I'm saying.
He's still involved. And
cheese retailer.
Cheese maker, cheese retailer. Yeah. I don't know why we're skipping over beer.
We should never skip over beer. I just the cheese in Wisconsin is on a different level. They also have a lot, a large Amish community. So I would go to the grocery store all the time, and there would be all of this, Amish Swiss cheese. And, I fell in love with the Amish. Because of living in Wisconsin.
Have they had an Amish challenge before? I remember there was the Gregory Thanksgiving challenge where they had to cook in a pilgrim village sort of thing.
You mean the racist challenge? See, LaTanya, I called it out. There we go.
You did it.
No, yeah. That was the plantation. That was the plantation challenge.
Oh yeah, that was a tough one. That was also racist. They're the black man going home on the plantation challenge. Very racist. Ally.
So I don't know if they've ever had an Amish challenge is what I'm saying. I can't remember.
They need to have one. They need to get as many cameras into Amish country as they will allow.
This is a TLC cameras. We need... It's Bravo cameras. Come on.
They're the buttonhole cameras that are buttonhole cameras.
Oh,
like
I thought you said buttonhole cameras. I don't think the Amish are going to go for that.
You said so many things on this podcast. You came out as a bottom.
Yes. The famous endoscopy challenge.
See where the food really goes.
Exactly.
That's disgusting.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Any other thoughts on this episode of Top Chef?
Kaylee, what are your thoughts on the draft?
Yeah, sure. And I always forget that we talk about what we eat this week too. I am out of practice.
Oh, we wouldn't have worked together with that.
No.
Let's do a draft. Who won last year?
Oh, I can't remember. But I have two options I'd love. I was thinking about this today when I was watching the episode. I want to get your thoughts on how we handle, because I was like, oh, do I reach out to them on Monday? Because there's 15 contestants and we haven't seen the episode. So what we've always done in the past is one of the 15 people you can draft is the first returnee from Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah.
In a season where we're throwing things out the window, where change is good,
okay.
I want to propose a couple things. One,
okay.
Whoever drafts Manny, the winner, who is immune next week and not going home, has to take David.
Oh.
Or we draft 12, four teams. It leaves two people off the board.
And have a listener team. We do that all the time on The Bachelor.
If you lose some, well, I was gonna say, if you lose somebody, you get to pick from the leftovers.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay, so we'll draft teams of four. We'll leave two people on the board. You can choose David if you think he's going to come back from Last Chance Kitchen. And this is why we don't have a video episode this time, to see the look of surprise on all our faces. So we'll do the snake draft. So we'll go 1, 2, 3, then 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. Is there anybody? 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Cool.
Snake draft.
Would anybody like to go first?
Hell no.
I do want to go first. Okay. I want Danny.
Yes, but who are you drafting?
Okay, you have Danny. Latana, would you like to go next, or would you like to go back to back in spot three?
I'll go next.
Okay.
I would like Michelle.
You're taking Michelle. I, with back-to-back picks at round three, I'm taking Manny. And let me refresh my memory of the dishes that were made. I'm actually, you know, I took Manny, the winner. I'm going to... Oh, we each took a winner, so that kind of works out nicely. I'm going to take the witch. I'm taking Amanda.
Good choice.
Back to you, LaTanya.
I am going to take Savannah.
Okay. Didn't have a standout episode for her, like, not in terms of quality, but she didn't leave an impression on me, which is often good this early in the competition.
Exactly.
What about you? You get two back-to-back picks in that number one spot, Haley.
I'm going to take Kevin.
Oh, damn it.
And it's so unlike me to take so many men.
Is it?
But I'm going
to... You take those men.
Sorry. Continue. Who's your next pick?
Name a woman, Haley.
I can. I have to take Valentine.
Good choice. Good choice.
I just like, I like his vibe. I like
I
his
do
vibe.
Too.
LaTanya, you get your third pick.
I'm going to go with Dan.
Oh, the local guy.
Yeah.
Darn it. I was going to pick. Well, I'm going to then pick Chicagoan, Kalina.
Nice.
And then... Looking, let me go in once again, refresh my memory of the folks.
Did you say Alina or Alicia?
I said Kalina.
Oh, wait. So Alicia's also from Chicago.
Okay. Oh, well, I picked Kalina.
Got it.
I will pick, you know what? Just because there's some interesting stuff going on, I'm going to pick Rasika.
Is it my turn?
It is your final pick.
Okay. This is hard.
Who's left?
We have Alicia, the aforementioned Chicagoan. We have David, who is on his way to Last Chance Kitchen. We have Kenny. We have Laura. And we have Charlie.
I'm going to pick Kenny.
Okay. That leaves you with your final pick, Haley.
I'm going to go with Charlie.
You're with Charlie. Okay. So, Team Haley is Kevin, Danny, Valentine, and Charlie. Team LaTanya is Dan, Savannah, Kenny, and Michelle. And Team Kurt is Manny, Kalina, Amanda, and Rasika. We know David is going to Last Chance Kitchen, but it does also leave on the board Laura and Alicia. So that is our draft.
Yay! I feel bad for the people that weren't drafted. Now I'm starting to have guilt set in about this format that we chose.
Well, the other format, they got picked last.
But at least they got picked.
Yeah, they didn't get picked at all. That's cruel, and we are not cruel people. Well, I mean, most of the time.
Not most of the time, yeah. We've not said any bad things about them.
No.
That's true.
Yet.
All right, I feel better. Wow.
Kurt, what good things did you eat this week?
So I actually, there's a local restaurant in Grand Rapids called The Reserve. I went there and I had a spicy pork ragu, a beet salad, and a fancy schmancy Caesar salad that kind of actually has like anchovies in it.
Yum.
That was quite tasty. Tonight, I made spicy pork Dan Dan noodles. Dan from Wisconsin, from Milwaukee, he and his partner Dan have a Dan Dan noodle restaurant, which is awesome.
Boy, did I giggle at that.
So did I. Dan, if you are listening, it's all in good fun, and I freaking just love that restaurant concept.
And if you're not listening, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. The comfort Chinese food is like right up my alley. Last week for March 14th, 3.14 Pie Day, I had a very tasty pizza pie and a blackberry peach pie. Mm-hmm. And then today at the aforementioned Kentwood shopping trip, I bought this really good cheddar with balsamic caramelized onions embedded in it.
Mm.
And it's so amazing. And so I bought a hunk of that. That's kind of been the main things. It's been those are the main things that stick out. Otherwise, it's been like a lot of sandwiches and soup.
Latanya. Not
bad, Latanya. Love soup.
What did you love have soup. For foods this week?
I had a really good pizza where the sauce was a fig jam.
Ooh.
Was there bacon or pear on the pizza?
No.
Okay.
There wasn't, but I'm open to all of that. And I also had a really good lobster ravioli.
Oh.
Just in like a white wine sauce. Oh, it was so good. It had sun-dried tomatoes and spinach as well. Very, very good.
Okay, there's that dish there. It goes against I don't like tomatoes in dishes, but I love sun-dried tomatoes in dishes.
That's weird.
Well, it's like
I don't like tomatoes, but I like tomatoes in dishes like that.
What?
I don't like
tomatoes?
Not really.
I don't like tomatoes on sandwiches because they think they make it like burgers and stuff because it's too much of a contrast in texture and temperature. And I think I must have had a bad ravioli experience growing up because whenever I think of ravioli, I think of it like opening up and there's just like a gray blah meat inside.
You were eating Chef Boyardee ravioli.
I was going to say, was it in a can?
It very well might have been, but that scarred me. But like lobster ravioli or like a butternut squash ravioli. Like there's raviolis that can sometimes break through that prejudice, if you will, and make me open to embracing them and being a ravioli ally. Can we say that multiple times? Ravioli ally?
Ravioli ally.
When is it ravioli ally?
Ravioli.
Yeah, but that sounds amazing, Latanya.
Yeah, it really was. I also recently had a ridiculously good Caesar salad where you could like tell that they made the dressing like for that salad. And it also had anchovies.
Oh, nice.
And then my boyfriend made me dinner. And it was very nice of him. He made a homemade tomato basil soup. And then he made this like rustic salmon salad that had cucumber, red bell pepper, Kalamata olives, and artichokes.
I thought you were going to say calamari there for a second. Like, whoa, that's a good turn.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It was really good. And then I had Cobb Crow for the first time in a really long time. It used to be my go-to Thai order. And then I transitioned to other things like I would get like a Thai basil curry or just like a noodle dish, like drunken noodles or something like that. But I had a taste for a little chicken caprao, and it definitely lived up to the hype. And then I was very excited when I left leftovers.
I forgot to mention, I did, that made me think, I did have a cooking fail. One of the meal kits I had, it was the first, occasionally I'll get something that uses a slow cooker. And there was this this chicken curry that had spinach in it. And it made like four, most of the meal kits will make two servings, so I can like spread it across two meals. This made four servings. And I failed on the rice. Like, it was crunchy, not crispy, but like I had to, I followed the directions, and I cooked it like the rice for 18 minutes. I ended up having to cook it for like 40 minutes. So I had to keep adding water, so it keeps steaming. Eventually, it got closer to being edible, but that was just like, I had four meals of this to sit through. It was not good.
Oh no!
Rice is tricksy and false.
Yeah, I hate making rice.
It's hard. It's hard to make rice.
Yeah. How about you, Haley?
I would say I didn't have like a particularly exciting food week, but like you, Kurt, I did celebrate Pi Day. But I went over to a friend's house because she hosts an annual Pie and Prejudice party where everyone brings pie and watches Pride and Prejudice.
Which one?
Both.
Oh, wow.
So they start with the BBC like Colin Firth like series, and then you watch
that one first?
Kurt, do you want me to leave or do you want me to not leave? Because I'm on the verge.
Yeah, that was good.
I love a good pun.
It's
very punny.
So I made little apple pie cookies, and they were honestly, like, I think they were pretty good.
Apple pie cookies? I've never heard of such sorcery.
Were they like
just a mini pie? Like, it was just this big. But I just called them a cookie because they were like little, like,
yum.
Technically, if we're getting specific, it would be like a hand pie, but come on. But my friend, she made a cannoli pie, which was like stupid. It was so freaking good. It was just, she did like a Biscoff cookie, like crumb, and then like the cannoli cream, and then like a layer of like a chocolate ganache on top with like the statues.
That's a thing.
So freaking good.
Are you Googling that, Tanya?
I'm Googling constantly.
She said she got it on like a TikTok or something like that. So anyway.
I saw on a TikTok it was like they took all the components you would have in a like lox and bagel spread. So they had like lox, they had capers, they had dill, they had cream cheese, and then they like took one of those cutter things that like looks like a seesaw, you know?
Oh, like a chopped salad of that?
Yeah, they basically made it into like a chopped salad with all of the things that would be, and then they used that as a bagel spread. I'm like,
interesting.
I want to do that.
Wow. I finally got TikTok, y'all. Just in time for them to take it away.
I think it was...
You guys live in America, I forgot.
I think it was Chef Stuart O'Keefe that did it. But yeah, it was, I was like, I haven't made it, but it looks really good.
Yeah. But really, that was it for me. Kurt, where can people find you on the internet if you want to be found on the internet?
For all your escape room photo, food photo, travel photo, you can catch me at Kurt Clark with two C's on Instagram. If you're looking to hire, I'm at Kurt Clark on LinkedIn. It's funny because it's true.
Oh no. Oh.
Latanya, do you need a job too?
I actually do. I'm not lying. Things kind of fizzled out with my job because they didn't want me working from home. I was recently 2 weeks in a row, which I believe is a record, a guest on the Movie Ladder podcast. And on the first podcast, we talked about Poor Things. And that podcast was the first time that I'd ever seen that movie. But I love Yorgos Lanthimos and his ridiculous style of movie making. So that was fun. And then we linked that to Barbie. So I didn't even need to watch the movie because I've seen the Barbie movie like six times. already. So you can catch me on there. And then if you want to know other stuff that I'm up to, we're doing some like post-show recaps, end of an era type things. So you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, or you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222. And I swear I'm going to update that thing now that I'm actually doing things with my life and leaving the house.
You can listen to more of me on the wrap ups feed here on the Bachelor Wrap Up. We are wrapping up that season next week. By the time next week's podcast rolls around, I will have an episode on the Ready to Be Romance podcast. My friend Tori from Ready to Be Petty, she has started a new podcast called Ready to Be Romance, covering a bunch of romance novels. So I'm going to talk about Bridgerton book 2/season 2 on the Viscount That Loves Me, which is like one of my all-time favorite books. I've read that thing too many times to count, if I'm being perfectly honest with everyone. And if you want to see more of what I am reading, you can check out my Bookstagram account at The Strong Library, and then my regular socials at HStrong on Twitter and Instagram. I tweet maybe once a month. Just not doing it for me anymore. Anyway, this is great for usual. I had a fun time. I missed you guys. It feels like we're right back into the swing of things.
We are so back.
I can't wait. And I'm excited to talk about the rest of the season. So with that, you can pack your knives and go. Bye!